So Mark chapter 4, just a small little portion of Scripture in the midst of all of the parables that Jesus has here, will bring us right into context of some of the things that Jesus would have us do. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29, it says this, and he was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night, he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and how he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, the first the blade, and then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Let's pray for a moment. Father, as we look at these just few brief verses of parable, but how much truth is here about moving us as farmers to be participants, not only in spreading the seed, but also having our sickle ready for the harvest and watching you do your incredible work to bring people to yourself. I pray, Father, this wouldn't just be an academic lesson for us today, but the Spirit of God would so implant the truth in our heart that it would put us in a position of movement, trusting you with how you will impact using your disciples. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As he was saying, there are a few things here that I want you to see in this text. And there's a couple of them. I will take it in a different direction perhaps than what you're used to. But I want to show you in point one, the things that we can do and the things that we cannot do if we have a heart of service. God has a desire that all of us would have a heart to serve. But there are some things we can do and there are some things we can't do. And we didn't understand our role in this so that we're not trying to do what we can't do and then avoid the very things that we're called to do. All right, so number one is that what we can do and what we cannot do. And you see these in just the first couple of verses. He was saying there was the kingdom of God is like a man. So that puts us in that position. We are this person, this man who casts seed upon the soil. First thing it says in here, what we can do is cast seed. Every farmer can cast seed. Some may be better at it than others, but all of us, to have a heart to serve, must cast the seed of the Word of God. We have to cast the seed upon the soil. This is going to seem so simplistic today, but let us not lose our command in the middle of this simplicity. We can sow. Anyone who has received the knowledge of the grace of God can serve, can share, and can teach others. We don't all serve alike. We don't all have the same gifts. But the Bible says that as we have all the same, or all different gifts, together we are one body. Christ is the head, and we are the elements and the parts in that body. And our body functions well when all the parts are moving. Would you agree? How many of you have parts that don't move as well as they used to? You know, how many of you have artificial parts that you had to get? All right, some of that. You have to replace parts. But see, here's in the body. We can't just hire out the parts of the body. We are the body. And everybody here has a place to serve, and there are things that we can do. Now, when we're younger, we can serve in some capacity that when we're older, we just can't. And I understand that. But is there a place in the Scripture that says we can retire from the work of God? There is none. We all have a part to play and all have a part to impact. And so here, there's a farmer that's casting seed upon the soil. That's what he can do. All in the family of God are called to serve. Some live more in obscurity and have small circles of influence. Others have great influence. But whatever God has afforded us, we should do. No saved man or woman should stand idle. No one is left without a holy task in this world. The kingdom of God is like this person who can cast the seed upon the soil. That's what we can do. It also indicates in this passage that we can sow seed that actually grows. Cheap seeds are not worth it if they don't grow. Doesn't matter how cheap you can buy them, if they're worthless, they're worthless. Here's the beauty of the Scriptures. It's not cheap seed. It actually is effective. And we ought to trust in it. God has given us His very Word that we would cast it upon the soils of life. Broadcast it everywhere. And we know that when that seed takes root, it will grow. Do you believe that? Are you with me here? Because sometimes I don't quite sure that we actually believe that the seed is actually that effective, because we keep it in our pockets and go, well, I don't know if it would work here. Or I don't know if it would work there. Or it may not be received over there. Where in the Scriptures does it say, pick and choose where you're going to kind of put it? It doesn't. It says you take it and He just starts broadcasting. It says He starts distributing it. And sometimes it ends up on this kind of ground and this type of ground and this type of ground. It doesn't matter. Spread it. Let God take care of the other parts. What you're responsible for is to know the Word and spread the Word. And it actually is effective. Sometimes we have poor imitations, though. We look at people's needs, and then rather than sharing the Word of God, we think, well, if they could just have a bigger bank account, or if they can just get a better job, then that would be sufficient. They just have nicer friends, or if we can just give them our best wisdom, it'll be good. And there's nothing wrong with these things I just mentioned. But it's not guaranteed to help that person truly grow. The only seed that is 100% effective to transform a life is the Word of God. I'm thankful for those two amens. The only thing that is 100% effective to transform a life is the Word of God. When you have a couple in front of you that's going through marriage difficulties, don't give them the world's wisdom. Give them the Word of God. When someone's in crisis or going through major depression, don't just say, well, maybe things will get better. Or perhaps we'll watch the news tomorrow and we'll get better news. No, give them the Word of God, where is the only hope that can transform. Throughout the centuries, people have tried to discount the Word and add other things. And generation after generation, these fads and other things continue to pass away, but the Word of God never passes away. It's still living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's what gives us life. God's Word is not to be put on a shelf to collect dust. It is the very thing that we can sow when we know it actually grows. We can sow often, and we can sow everywhere, as I've already mentioned. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. What is those seasons? I don't know specifically in that interpretation, but I know this. You're either in season or out of season. So what are you to do? Preach the Word all the time. Sometimes in the seasons, people are really hungry for it. Other times, they're not. So what are you to do? Preach the Word. The Word is the only thing that gives life. So Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6 says, in the morning, sow your seed. And at the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So sow your seeds all the time. You'll be amazed at where the growth may happen. If you'll just trust Him with the Word that grows, spread it. So what can we do? We can sow seed. We can sow seed that actually grows. We can sow seed often and everywhere. And then the Scripture tells us here in Mark chapter 4, we can harvest. Not only do we get to sow the seed, we get to be a part of the ending process where we can harvest. It says in verse 29, but when the crop permits, when it's ready, he immediately, the same person from verse 26, he immediately puts in the sickle, the cutting, the harvesting process, because the harvest has come. Did you know that we will reap in due season? It's both our duty and our delight to do so, to put the seeds out and also to be there to harvest that. There's a joy in that. It's work. But there is a joy in being a part of what God is doing as the seeds are sown and people are growing and coming to know the Lord, and we get to be a part of that. There's a place for the person with the heart to serve at the beginning of every work that God has, and there's a place at the end to sow when the fruit is being yielded. The living seed produces first the blade of thought, and then the head of conviction, and then faith comes to full maturity. The Christian servant gets to be there on the front rows. Jesus said to his disciples, "Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they are white already unto harvest. Be ready." Paul says, "One sows, another reaps." That we get to be a part of both ends of the spectrum. God said, "I sent you to reap where you have not labored." He promises as well, Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if you don't give up. You continue on. No wise farmer leaves the fruit of the field exposed to the hail, which might beat it out, or to the mildew that might destroy it, or to the birds that might devour it. He watches the seed that he plants, and he's ready to harvest when it's ripe." That's what we can do. A heart to serve is to be right on there, on the front rows, to participate in God's work. But there are some things we can't do according to this passage. What can we not do? We have to admit there are things we can't do. There are two ends of the spectrum here when it comes to the work of God. Some will sit back and say, "We can't do anything. It's all God, nothing of us. I'll just sit back. If it's going to get done, God's going to do it." There have been the frozen chosen over the years that have had that position. But then the other end of the spectrum is, if it's going to be, it's all up to me. And that's a false theology as well. God says, spread the seed. Did you see that in the scriptures? Spread the seed. He says, harvest it when it's ready. But there are things that happen in between this that you can't do anything about. When you plant the seed, God is having to do his work to transform that person. There is not one thing you can do to transform a heart. All you can do is plant the seed. God has to do the rest. Remember, he's the gardener ultimately. We are not. We're just the vines connected to the branch. We cannot grow the seed. The seed sprouts and grows, it says, there in the scriptures of verse 27. But how? He himself does not know how it grows. It just takes place. Seed once sown is beyond human jurisdiction. We can neither make it sprout nor grow. What is beyond the range of our knowledge, according to the scriptures, we don't know how it actually grows other than God is doing it. What is beyond our knowledge is also beyond our power. Have you ever shared the word of God with somebody and then they just don't seem to be getting it yet, so you nearly want to shake them and say, "Come on, wake up, let me make that grow"? Or at least you feel like that internally. And you can't change them. Is that frustrating to anybody here? May I just confess, that frustrates me. You know, I'm kind of a control freak about things anyway. Some of you know that. All right. And so I'm just like, "Come on, I've shared with you everything. You just got to get it." And somehow I want to get inside that person's mind, become their Holy Spirit, and change them. And I can't do it. And God has convicted me often to say, "Don't waste your time anymore frustrated with me because I won't let you do this. It's my job to transform hearts because I get all the glory," God says. You hear that? Sometimes we like to get a lot of credit for things because we do things. All we are servants of the King. You know, we're not making the meal. All we are the waiters that get to bring it hot and fresh to people. Somebody else has got the whole thing together, and it's God, and we can trust him with it. Just spread his word and let him transform the hearts and minds of people. And then you get to be there on the front row when God has fulfilled his work in that individual and they say, "Yes, I want Christ," and you get to pray with them and harvest that. But ultimately, all of that work takes place under the power of God. You know why? Because God can go places you cannot. You can't get into the mind of somebody. When they're laying down at bed and they can't sleep and it's 1 o'clock in the morning and they're frustrated about their life or they're struggling with their marriage or they just don't know what to do with their finances and they're like, is there even a God? I would rather them begin to talk to Him at 1 a.m. than call me and get my stumbling along with my words. Let them connect with Him, because the Spirit of God always speaks much clearer than you and I do. Just give them the Word and let God do His work and be satisfied with that. Let's do what we can do and trust God that He will do what He can do far better than us. I'm afraid sometimes when we try to step into the role of God and make someone converted faster than God is actually working on them, what we do is make false converts. Do you know there are people pleasers in our world? And they will do whatever you want them to do because they want your favor and approval. Your children are like this. Mommy and Daddy want me to do this, so I'm going to be baptized. They don't have a clue about Jesus, or they just love Jesus, but really there's no repentance or understanding. They just want to please you. There are people in your life, a sphere of influence, adults who just say they love Jesus and it seems like they're happy, so I'll just do what they're doing. They have no concept of God, but they want to please you, so they'll do it because you seem to be so pleased about it. There are people pleasers that we sometimes pick the fruit before there's actually any movement of God in them, and we have to be very careful about that. Share the word liberally, but let God do the work and don't try to make them go quicker than God is working in them. With that, there are 16 million Southern Baptists among many other evangelicals, but just alone 16 million Southern Baptists on roll, only 5 million of them actually attend church. Most church rolls are much higher than their attendance. Why? Because there are a lot of people who just please somebody for a week of Bible school or a week of revival, and then they never return to church again because they didn't know God. But they had a good week. So let's be very cautious and pray and be diligent to spread the word, but trust God to do His work as we continue to follow up, certainly. Some people are just people pleasers. What we cannot determine, or what we cannot do as well, is we can't determine the speed of the growth of that seed. Look at verse 27, what it says he does. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. Most of the work happens when we are asleep or at rest. Interesting. That you plant the seed, and the farmer could stay up all night and try to do something to that seed to make it grow. And God says, no, this farmer, he just sleeps. He just rests. To refresh him so that he can get back into the work the next day. God is taking care of things. And though the farmer would love it to go faster, he can't make it work any faster. Like little Johnny, who planted the seed from his apple in the morning in the backyard. And that afternoon, he goes and digs up the seed just to see if it's at work. Sometimes we get a little impatient with folks. Do we trust God enough to do work on people as we just continue to be consistent in sharing? All seeds take time to grow. The seed of the Word of God doesn't always grow right before our eyes where we see it. Sometimes it's in other places, and we just have to be content that God is getting His work done. You know, people naturally hate the Word of God. By their own natures, they hate it or they simply ignore it. But when the Word of God is sown in their hearts, in God's timing, it begins to transform that heart and mind. And they begin to love it. Their whole nature is renewed. And instead of producing sin, it yields repentance and faith and love. And you'll see it. We cannot hurry this process, but we can observe it as it takes place. We cannot create. We cannot awaken. We cannot transform, we cannot regenerate, we cannot save, but we can sow, and we can trust God to fulfill His work in the hearts of men and women. In God's providence, God makes preparations, even in this sowing, that it's kind of a great process in the physical world, but also the spiritual world. In the physical world, you plant a seed, it begins to grow. And what does it end up doing? It produces more seeds. Why? For reproduction. God does the same thing as in his divine providence. When you plant seeds in the life of someone, what happens? They begin to grow. As God grows them, and there are seeds there, because they're going to reproduce as well. It's the expectation of every believer that we would be reproducing. That which is born within us, we want to share with others. So those are the things we can do and the things we can't do. Here's the second point. What we can know and what we cannot know. There are some things we can know from this verse and all the scripture, and there are some things we cannot know. What can we know? Here's the first thing. We can know the seed sown will grow. I've mentioned this already, but just a little further down. A man who casts seed upon the soil, he goes to bed at night, gets up, and the seed sprouts and grows. It is going to grow. We can know that with certainty. Growth and ripening may be a mystery to us, how it actually takes place, but it does happen by God's power. An agricultural chemist can talk about the chemical combinations. He can produce and quote analogies from this experiment or that experiment, but still the growth of the seed remains a mystery, even in the physical world. It just happens. Same thing in the spiritual world. We don't know exactly how it all takes place, but we know that it does take place. Not every grain will grow either. Some will be taken up by birds, others scorched by the sun, others choked out by weeds. But God's word will not return void. We can know that his purpose will stand. Why? Because the word of God is living and active. I mentioned it earlier here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. It is the nature of living seeds to grow. The reason why the word of God grows in people's hearts is because it is a living word of a living God. And where the word of God is, there is power. How the Spirit of God deals with the mind and how he creates a new heart and a new spirit within somebody, we may not fully understand. But as Charles Spurgeon said, as people came to him years ago, he's a preacher from another century in London, said, explain to me the whole process of salvation. Just explain it. And he would respond, just experience it and you'll know how it all works. There is a truth to that. I can tell you what the Grand Canyon looks like because I've seen it. But you'll never understand it until you've seen it yourself. You trust the word that is exposed. You receive it in faith, and you will fully begin to understand how it works through you. We can know that the seed will grow. We also can know that growth is a process, not an event. It says in verse 28, the soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. It's a season of growth. It's a process to bring full faith and salvation through someone's heart. No human heart produces faith by itself. The Bible says we all have a heart of stone without him. But God makes the heart of people ready to receive the gospel. And with it, some of us are more instantaneous when we hear it. Others take much longer. But moved by divine influence, the soul will embrace the truth and ultimately be embraced by the truth. But it is a process. And we can know that. Realize that some people are on a fast track and other people take a little more time. We have to be patient as farmers. How many of you grew up on a farm, by the way? Yeah, several. Look around. There's several. You younger people need to appreciate those who had to actually work hard every morning and every night. Because it was work, but you enjoyed it. Because you lived off the land, you trusted God, you prayed for all the provision that God would give. We can know. But what is it we cannot know? We cannot know what is in a person's mind and in their heart. We cannot be omniscient. Only our Creator is. Only He is the all-knowing one. And we have to trust Him with that. Many have attempted to determine where somebody is on their faith journey. And there are some observable things you can see, but ultimately, you do not know where someone is in their faith journey. There are some that seem just so ready. You can just see them, and they're, oh yeah, I can just see they're right there. But they still might be a long ways off. Back to that people-pleasing thing. They might just kind of be pleasing you, but really, their faith is not even active yet. And then there are those who seem totally cold, distant, like they don't care whatsoever. And the truth of the matter is, God may be actually working on them where they're ready on the edge. They just don't want you to know it yet. Have you ever been surprised by someone who's come to faith? You're like, never them. I could have just never. I mean, who would have selected Saul to be converted to Christ as he's going up a road to Damascus to put Christians in jail? Who would have imagined that? Not one person. But you never know where God is working. Sometimes you may be put off by people who you've shared the Word of God with, and they're just cold and distant to you. They act like they don't care. And you say, well, I'll just, you know, dust my feet off and go another direction. When you give up too early on somebody, you might just be walking away from someone who God is actually dealing with. They're giving huge resistance, but you ever seen a rubber band? You put enough resistance on that, when they finally release, they're going to launch farther than you can ever imagine in your own faith. Don't give up on those who are just resistant. They might just be on the cusp. But the thing is, you don't know what's going on in the heart and mind of individuals. It's God's work. And in God's work, there's more room for faith than sight. Heavenly seed often grows secretly. We just need to continue to share that seed and know that seed will grow and be persistent and consistent in the lives of people and let God do His work. Where we have a lack of knowledge, we can expand our trust in the living and active Word of God and the God who uses that Word. Number three is this: what we can expect and what we cannot expect. What can we expect? We can expect to see fruit. Perhaps I've already said, as it continues to grow, we can expect fruit. We ought to be expecting fruit. We serve and we share the gospel. The seed then takes root and it grows, and we naturally expect to harvest. I wish there was a word I could say or some phrase that would enable every one of us to heighten our expectations in the work of God. I think too many of us work without faith or hope. We just do our duties. We just continue to go through the motions because we haven't seen much. If you had a garden, you planted seed, would you be greatly disappointed if nothing came up in that season? Yeah. You're expecting it. You're looking for it. You're anticipating it. How many of us share the Word of God and expect anything from it? Or we just did it because that was what we're supposed to do? In the old days, we used to have these little cards that checked out. Did you share your faith this week? Did you read your Bible this week? Did you give to the church this week? Did you come to the Sunday night service? You checked all these little boxes, and a lot of people just check those boxes, put it on, and never thinking about it again. How many of us share the Word of God and never thinking about it again? When we ought to have a heart of expectation, we share because we desire God to do His work so that harvest will come. Do we trust Him? Do we expect it? Or do we just go through the motions? We can expect to see fruit. In James chapter 1, verse 6 and following, it says, "But we must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded man, unstable in his ways." If we share the Word of God and we pray, God, would you take that seed and plant it deeply? Would you transform that heart? Do we expect Him to do that in His timing? And that we don't give up because we want to labor diligently and we will see the reaping of the harvest if we will not grow weary and tired? I think of couples that I've known where a spouse was praying for their other spouse to come to faith, and it may have taken 20 and 30 or 40 years, but they didn't give up, and the individual would come to Christ. Perhaps you have a son or a daughter that is wayward, or they're not following Christ. Don't give up on them. Expect the fruit. pray, trust, share the Word of God. And we can expect it. Perhaps if we expected more, we'd actually see more of God's handiwork, even in our own lives and church. We can also expect to get some rest. Verse 27, he goes to bed at night and gets up by day. Being a farmer is a great job. It also allows you to get some sleep. You probably sleep better at night when you've worked hard in the day. Would you agree? Sometimes we can't sleep at night because we didn't do much in the daytime. Being a farmer is a great job. What about a Christian? A Christian servant is great also. And when we serve the Master diligently, when we go to bed at night, we can relax and trust God is in control. We ought to sleep with restful confidence. Are you afraid the kingdom of Christ will not come unless you're awake and making it happen? Are you fearful God's purposes will fall if you're not the one handling everything? Shame on you. Your anxiety dishonors God. Omnipotence will not be defeated. It is better to rest trusting God than work in your own power attempting to solve all your problems and to win everybody. Don't be an Uzzah. Remember Uzzah? They were traveling with the Ark of the Covenant. And good-hearted Uzzah, you're not supposed to touch the Ark, but as it's traveling, it's starting to wobble a little bit. It's about to fall off. And Uzzah, in his good heart, just says, I know we're not supposed to touch it, but I think I need to. I think I just need to help it along. And he touches it. What happens to him? He dies. You think, how cruel. Let me just say, sometimes we try to do what God tells us not to do out of a good heart, but it's absolutely wrong. Let's do what God calls us to do and then rest and let Him take care of the rest. He gives us rest on purpose so we can not only have restful confidence in Him, but we have patient certainty. We rest patiently. God's purpose will be accomplished. His kingdom will come. People will be saved. We'll work hard in the day and let us rest by night, trusting Him when we're not there with those individuals. You do not sleep. You will not wake up refreshed and ready to serve Him for whatever He has for you in that day. If it were possible for you to stay up all night and do God's job, you'd be unfit to actually do your job. So get rest, be at peace, work with calm dignity, for the matter is safe in the Lord's hands. Here's the last thing. We cannot expect God to relieve us from kingdom work. In verse 26, the one we started off, it says the kingdom of God. It's not our kingdom. It's not your kingdom. It's not anybody else. It's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this. You want to be a part of the kingdom of God? Then do you do these things? You serve. We can't expect to be relieved from kingdom work. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts. He's the one who puts the sickle and takes the harvest. The farmer must sow the seed and not forget it. He must mend the fences and drive away the birds and remove the weeds and continue to water. He must rest but never neglect or be lazy. He cannot sleep the sleep of indifference or inaction. The farmer may not just put seeds in one field. He has to put seeds in multiple fields that he is responsible for. The servant will sow seed. He will also reap the seed. And then move on to thresh and winnow and disciple those that have come to faith. A farmer's work is never done, but always is accomplished in the strength of the Lord. And considering this passage and where we are right now, and considering our missions efforts and where our church is, my prayer is that we'd have a heart to serve, meaning we would pray and we would serve and we would share and we would rest, trusting the Lord to accomplish His will. What are we going to do? What is it we can know? What should we be expecting? As you consider the Acts 1:8 challenge, thinking about a local ministry, both in and around our community and connecting with Chris Skinner with his church plant. The Hispanic ministry is 25% of our community is Hispanic. How will we reach them? How we're going to move out into the United States and also international ministry. How much will we give? Where will we go? How will we sow? What will we expect the harvest to be? Let's heighten our expectations as we heighten our trust in the living, active Word of God and the God of all power who desires to impact our world.